Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
Oh, yeah.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I convinced them I had to change my opinion on Bigfoot. I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Out in the swamps, what you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on his cypress knee, and he was talking to Moccasin Joe. Well, the party they're gonna have out in the St. John's swamps.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Viscardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Viscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
I'm doing wonderful. I'm doing wonderful.
Hello.
Are you there?
Yes, sir.
Oh. TJ, are you there?
I'm here, Marco.
Yeah, Lee.
What?
Oh, okay. I got Leo on. And Harry should be dialing in here shortly. He had to go outside to dial in.
No problem. You know, it's been a crazy week, wonderful week. You know, I look forward to the Bigfoot Live radio show where I can get around and talk to my buddies about Bigfoot. You know, and whether we've got guests or we just do a round table, whatever, it's a great day of the week because it's hump day, and hump day is a good day. Next day after that's Thursday.
I'm going to have to excuse myself here for a few minutes. I'll be right back.
No problem. You know, I got my good old buddy Leo here. He's out in North Carolina. How are you doing, Leo?
Doing great. Doing great, brother. How you doing?
You know, if life got any better, I'd have to go dig a hole and put myself in it and bury myself, I think.
I have to do the same thing, but put a lot of dirt on me.
You know, I figured tonight, you know, we always talk about Bigfoot, but I thought we'd kind of switch it up a little bit and talk about Bigfoot, but talk about expeditions, the things to bring
Sounds
with
good.
You, things you bring, you know, people, you'll always ask me, what do you take on expeditions? I said, you know, we got lots of gear, and, you know, there are certain things that we take that other people don't take. So I figured, you know, we'll talk to our guest, Terry, when he gets in, and then we'll discuss a little bit about what we do and why we do it and what we take. What do you think, Leo?
Sounds good. Sounds like a winner. Always a good time.
Outstanding. So here, Marco, Bill will be back in a second. What's been going up in your neck of the woods, Leo? Anything? Has it been quiet?
It's been kind of quiet. Like I said, I'm making plans to hit the Asheville to go up and talk to Jody, see what's going on, see what's scurrying around in the woods up there. In fact, I'm going to take my niece and nephew out into the Warrior Forest on Monday. So we got some time off. We're going out on Monday, and we're going to try to go around West Morris Mountain and try to introduce them to the life of Bigfoot hunting. So, you know, like you said, a lot of people don't understand what it takes to go out there to look for these creatures. So we'll be going out, taking them out, and showing them what it's all about.
You know, I see Rocky's also just chimed in with us. How you doing, Rocky?
Hey, I'm good.
Glad you made it. You know, like I was telling you, I don't know if you heard, but I figured, you know, people are always asking me, what do we take out with you when you go on expedition? How do you do it? I figured with the three of us, we could give some people a lot of knowledge. What do you think?
Probably so.
Just a little bit, right? You know,
yeah,
we got our guest coming. He's from Massachusetts. His name is Harry, and you know, he ran into the creature here a little bit back. So will we wait for him? Any news for you guys? Anything you want to talk about real fast before Harry gets in here? Anybody want a soapbox?
No,
well,
I talked to Big D last Wednesday night after we got off the show, and it was really interesting. The man knows his stuff.
Yes, he does. He's a good guy. You know, he told me he was going to call you in, and I think he talked to me the day afterwards. He said he spent at least an hour or so with you after the show, you know, looking whatever you guys talked about.
Oh, gosh, everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, we pretty much ran the whole gamut. We're going to probably be moving into the house here within the month, I think. And
wow.
So, you know, I'm not going to be able to go. I'm wanting to go over there to his neck of the woods and check things out, but I'm going to have to kind of put things on and all that on hold until we get moved.
Well, hey, you know, your Bigfoot cave. We don't man, we call it your Bigfoot cave. You're going to have to spend some time there for a little bit, you know. And Leo's with us, and he's out in North Carolina. And he was talking about actually he's going to be taking his nieces and nephews out for a Bigfoot hunt, which I think is awesome. The younger, the younger people we get involved is the better.
Hey, you know, it's ironic that we talk about people being interested in Bigfoot, TJ. You know, I was at a family gathering. This is how my nephew got interested. And I didn't know he's always been interested in Bigfoot. And we was at a family gathering at my parents' home at the neighboring county. And we got to talking about it, and I got to show him pictures of our expedition. And he said, that guy looks familiar. I said, yeah. I said, that's my boss. He said, your boss? I said, yeah. I said, you know Tom Biscardi Jr.? And then Tom Biscardi Sr.? He's like, you got to be kidding me. I said, that's not a cardboard cutout. That's an actual picture. And he looked at April. He looked at my wife. He was like, did Uncle actually go out there with these guys? And she said, yeah, those are pictures. That's not Photoshop. He's actually out with those guys. So, you know, he's always been interested. And I didn't know he's watched J&E show. And he watched the last show that you guys did that was on the History Channel. dealing with the guy from Virginia, the guy that you went up and seen FM, and he said, you know, I've always been interested in Bigfoot, and he said I want to go on an expedition, and I told him I was going to take him. He's been listening to the show too, so you know he's got interested in it. And my niece, ever since I've been on the show, ever since I've been with the Searching for Bigfoot team, you know, she's listened to the show religiously. She's I've been listening. She's listening now actually, and you know, she said she wanted to know when the next time I'm going to Ward Forest. They wanted to go, so I'm taking them on Monday.
Awesome. What's your niece's name?
Her name is, it's a crazy name, Ivani.
Ivani, great big shout out to Ivana. There you go, great big shout out. Start footing the way it is.
I hadn't got my daughter there yet, so I mean, you know, she's somewhat of a outdoorsman, but I ain't got it to the point that she's ready to go out and you know, fight with the mosquitoes and everything else and listen to things that go bump in the night. So,
well, you know, God, talking about mosquitoes, you know, that's one thing that now when you're out looking for the creature this time of year, if you can't, you can deal with the ticks and the mosquitoes. You know, I say you need to get and make sure that when you're on expedition, you've got some sulfur powder with you. You probably need to get some dryer sheets, put around your waist, put around your bottoms of your shoes, and also, you know, the highest concentrated DEET you can get. You know, otherwise, you're going to be bit up. People always ask me, do you get bit up? I says, well, I didn't used to, but nowadays, I don't know. I guess I've gotten sweeter, you know.
I don't know, Tommy. I don't know.
Oh, my goodness, you know. But that's what you need to have when you're out there, you know. I mean, sulfur powder works real well. Rocky, he don't wear nothing. He just he likes to get bit up, feel good about himself, makes him feel like he's young again, I guess.
my shin finally got healed up from the last trip.
Yeah, finally.
Yeah,
I think
the meat all kind of grew back. I kind of got a dent in there, but I've only got a little bit of scab left.
Hey, Rocky, you know, DJ turned me into an old ranger the last time we was in the Roaring Forest. I bought some camo paint. DJ said, I'm going to show you how hardcore I can be. He took some ash from the fire and put on some camo. I said, okay. I felt small then.
That's right. We did take that dirt.
Yeah, he made me an honorary ranger, so I said, okay, there we go.
Hey, DJ, I am back. And
all right.
And Harry is having a little bit of a problem. He keeps dialing my cell phone number instead of the number for the show. So I got it squared away, I think, again. So he's going to dial up here shortly.
Okay, well, when he gets in, we're just kind of talking about expeditions and what to's, what not to do, what to take. You know, kind of give our listeners out there kind of a class on, you know, how to do it, you know. I want to go to Leo. Leo, what, you know, when you pack up your ditty bag, what do you think is the most important thing you take out with you?
The most important thing I take, and Rocky can attest to this, is plenty of lead.
that's
one thing I got to have because, you know, some of the terrain that we go in and some of the areas we've been in the past, you know, have been some areas that it's very, very rugged. And then, you know, when I mean by rugged, I mean there's no telling what type of animals that you might run into out there. A lot of people think that we pack those big guns basically just for Bigfoot, and that's not true. Most of the time we're packing that extra heat just for case we run into something that's out there other than Bigfoot that might not, you know, care too much for us to be out in their domain. The other thing we you got to have a first aid kit. You got to have that.
Yep.
You got to have a first aid kit whatsoever because sometimes, you know, most of us that are prior service military who are hard chargers, low drags, such as TJ and Rocky, a lot of people, we take with us, they're not used to that. So, and then the other thing that TJ spoke about is insect repellent, because some of the areas that we go in, and I've always, and Marco know, I've got on my soapbox plenty of times about it, some of the areas that we go in are deep, deep, deep in the forest, and you know, you might see mosquitoes the size of helicopters now in the Uwari forest. So, and another thing is food. You know, when you watch, one of the biggest phrases that TJ uses, that he says all the time to the folks, it's not McDonald's, it's not Pizza Hut, it's none of that. You eat what we eat, you drink what we drink. What I mean by drinking, we drink plenty of water, lots of water, in the wintertime and even in the summertime. So if you're coming out with us, prepare to drink plenty of water. And I take MRE sometimes. A couple of guys on the team, when we went, they was like, I didn't know people still eat those. But, you know, I took a box of MREs with me because, you know, a lot of times you're not going to have time to go get a lot of grub because, you know, we're constantly sitting around, we're sharing ideas, and we're also looking at the business aspect of this whole project that we call Search for Bigfoot. And a lot of times we're sharing wisdom with each other. So, you know, basically the necessity is when you're going camping, but a little bit more, a little bit more. And like I tell folks again, you know, we're not just out in Uncle Joe's backyard in the suburbs looking for Bigfoot. You know, the areas we're going in are some rough parts. And where we're camping, you know, it's not like the state park in New York, in Manhattan, somewhere downtown New York. You know, you got ticks, you got a lot of things that could jump on you. So you got to be prepared. You got to take, like I said, the necessities of the first aid kit, food, water, and good camping gear.
Snake
stay warm
bite
at night. Yes, yeah, snake. Got to have that. Got to have a snake bite kit. Good boots. You got to have good boots. You can't go up there with sneakers on. That's not gonna happen. I'm gonna tell folks
right
now. You can't tell the Search for Bigfoot team, I want to go on an expedition, and you show up with doggone Nikes. It's not gonna work. Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan can do a lot of things, but he can't go Bigfoot hunt.
They're going to have some really tore up Nikes, aren't they?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. But you got to be prepared. I tell folks, you got to be prepared. If you're gonna do this thing, you're gonna come out with us. You know, when we go out, you got to be prepared. And one thing that one of the people that I clinged on to for the Search for Bigfoot, other than the Biscardi team, was Mike Green. And like Mike Green, his slogan, he always says that, you know, it's a boring job. You might see something, you might not. But you got to do a lot of hiking, and you got to go to a lot. You got to get yourself in a lot of, embed yourself in a lot of areas where these creatures go. These creatures are not just going to come out on the road and have a big sign like someone homeless on the side of the road and say, hey, I'm Bigfoot, come take a picture of me. It's not going to happen. You got to go.
Right.
You got to go into their territory. And some of the areas we go in are deep, deep. So, but like I say, only thing I can tell folks, if you really, really, really want to get out here and go on an expedition, I'm not going to call any names. I'm not going to say anything about any shows. But if you really want to go on a real expedition, you come with the Biscardi family. And that you go in areas that we don't have a whole busload or a truckload of cameras set up like Hollywood. It don't work that way. It don't work that way at all.
I tell people, they tell me what's the number one thing that I ever take out with me. And, you know, I always research the area I'm going into because, well, like you guys know, Rocky and Leo, you know, we don't just, you know, walk 25 feet into the woods, find the picnic tables, and you're leading a team and you've got an objective and you got to get out into the boondocks, or as my daughter would say, PFE. You know, you got to get a top on that to the road. I think the most I've ever spent for a topo map for an area was, I think, $9 through the, what is that website? I can't remember what it was called, but it has to do with the U.S. government. And, you know, they've got topo maps for everywhere, any forest, any mountain range. Another thing is compass or some sort of GPS, you know, so you don't get lost. If you're going to have a compass, then you better learn how to recommend it, how to look at a topo map. Your topo map and being able to recon the area visually. Uh-oh, we got something pulling in there. But a topo map and recon the area, looking at it, knowing where you want to go, where you go is always a good thing, you know. And nowadays with the cell phones and the GPS and handheld, you can pretty much get anywhere. And if you're smart, you get out. You have to concur with Leo. You know, you got to have the right food. You want to make sure you pack it. Once you're going to have a base camp, you can always leave all your heavy stuff there. And, you know, when you start walking through the woods and hitting your point of contact on your map, you may take it and walk out and get where you're going. But you get there, and, you know, you got your food, you got your water, and hopefully Bigfoot. You know what I mean?
You got to have good communication too, TJ. That's the other thing. I'm sorry, forgot to mention that. You got to have good communication, and I ain't just talking about communication between people. I'm talking about you got to have that electronic communication because you know, sometimes when you take people out looking for these creatures, the areas that we have been in, like I say, Uwari Forest is just one of my stomping grounds, and it's hundreds and hundreds and thousands of acres of deep forest. A lot of people go out and they just want to wander out in the middle of nowhere and just, you know, think they can find their way back. You know, a lot of times that grommet might not work. if you don't have contact with somebody to know, have that good old fashioned Rocky Blevins type of Rocky Slavin type of directions, you're going to get lost and you're going to be in a world of hurt. So that's not a good thing.
Well, you know, the Corollas use are really good. Go ahead, Rocky.
There's a friend of mine, him and his dad and another guy all went out to the area where me and Tommy have been any number of times. They went out there deer hunting. That was in 2004, I believe. And the two boys came home, and they still haven't found the dad.
Oh, wow.
We've been down in through there 1,000 times, and we've never seen any sign of him. He didn't know the area. He didn't know that the sun comes up in the east every morning. I don't know what the deal was, but they all went out and they got separated. The two boys, they came out, but they came out about 2 days later than they intended to, and they had the search and rescue people out in the woods for Lord knows how long, and they found his gun, and that was it.
They found his gun.
That's all they found. Never found anything else.
I think about those stories about, you know, people disappearing, and, you know, they're out there with their gun, and they find just the gun, you know, and it never hasn't even been shot. I mean. Just,
right.
It blows.
Well,
blows,
you know, it's one of those things. A lot of people just don't realize the seriousness of their situation.
No.
The guy was, yeah, he was in his 60s. Hell, I'm in my 60s.
Yeah.
But the difference is, I always came back. And,
right.
You know, there's no explanation as to, you know, why he got lost. If that was the case, no reason for him to leave a gun laying in the next to a creek. There's just a lot of unanswered questions, and just like Leo said, a little bit of electronic communication could have helped a whole bunch. something as simple as just a, you know, a $4 plastic compass would have helped.
Yeah.
But you know, a lot of people will get 75 yards off the pavement and they're lost.
They
didn't take extra food. There was water. There was water there that was probably drinkable. But you know, the hogs weren't as bad back then. But the bears were, and you know, I'm not suggesting that a black bear ate him, but it's not out of the question either. But he wasn't. They were totally unprepared for what they was getting into because they'd never hunted out there.
Yeah.
They'd never been out there, and that's why after he disappeared, you know, me and the Swede went down through there, and the one son wanted to go with us, but he was afraid to, and anyhow, one of those things, I don't know, he went out there with a really nice 30-06, and then, you know, when they found it, it was already starting to form rust on it. So it, and where they found it wasn't much further than, well, if I was out deer hunting, I wouldn't have gone down there. It's just because I'd have to drag the deer back out. But
right.
I guess if I didn't know the situation, well, I guess I could have done something that stupid. But like I say, that was in 2004, and it's, but, you know, enough said. He's gone and never turned up a shoe, a bone, nothing. Just they found his gun laying out there.
Huh. I wonder, maybe he decided that he wanted just to disappear and that he couldn't walk out of the woods somewhere else with that weapon of his without being, you know, picked
well,
up.
The way he went, he'd have done that, and he was going the wrong direction to get out of there anyhow.
Okay.
Well, maybe the Sasquatch didn't even know what to use. He just said, "How to use this thing? Throw it down."
It's Doyle. It's Doyle.
Hey, what's
You're
up,
Big
Doyle?
Doyle.
You know, folks, if you joined in late here, we're kind of talking about expeditions, what to take with you, what to do, when to do it, how to do it, how we do it, how the panel does it, just to give you a little bit of understanding and knowledge. And, you know, you're picking up that you need to have a compass, some sort of a kind of a weapon, GPS, maybe a topographical map. You need to recon your area. You need to know your markers. You need to plot your courses. You need to have food. You need to have water. And, you know, a little bit of
a good dependable
gear.
Firearm. A good dependable firearm.
Yep.
A good sharp knife. And in Doyle's case, a sewing kit so you can sew your britches up after you miss your cut the ass out of your britches.
Damn you, Rocky.
Wow.
You had to pull
Damn
it
Rocky.
Out, didn't you? You had to pull that one out, didn't you, Rocky? You had to pull that one out, didn't you, Rocky? Rocky said, I left my knife back in the trailer. Rocky gives me a knife and says, here, use that knife. And I put it on my belt, and I always try to, like, you know, trigger my weapons a couple of times to make sure that I don't have to look down to make, you know, sure that they're not holstered. And I dropped that knife through my britches, and I didn't know it was a Rocky Slavin special. And it fell plumb through to my damn ankle and cut my britch legs wide open. while we was up there in Arkansas, and I'll tell you what, Rocky, you owe me a pair of britches.
Hey, Rocky, was it a K-bar? Was it a K-bar?
It was the K-bar. It was the K-bar. And that's whenever I decided right then and there, there'll be no other knife on my hip when I'm hunting Bigfoot than a K-bar. That damn thing is vicious.
Those are the sharpest knives there are. This is Leo, man. I took mine out probably, how many times, CJ? About twice. I was scared to take it out.
Yeah.
Then, so.
Yep.
It's razor sharp.
Did you get your K-bar, man? Did you get your K-bar?
I got mine, but I don't pull mine out unless I plan on using it. Because if
you pull it out and you plan on using it, you better grab a hold of it, because if it drops through your britches, you're going to have cold wind blowing through your hind end the rest of the night.
You heard it from the first.
You don't want cold air blowing through your hind end at night, folks. Don't you just got in here? So we're kind of giving folks an idea of what not to take to the woods when you're hunting, what to take with you. It's kind of what we do. We kind of give an idea, you know, of what's your guide like to take out with you.
I'll tell you what you need to take is you need to have a lot of water, because you're going to get dehydrated out there. And whether you take it in canteens or just bottled water, you got to have a lot of water. And you need protein.
There you go.
So
there you go.
If you got anything that's like canned tuna, any kind of corned beef hash.
Viande sausages.
Potted meat, something where you can get plenty of protein, because you're going to need it, because you're going to be out there for a long time.
Hey, but we missed one thing, TJ.
What's that?
We got to have that e-tool in case you got to deposit something out in the forest.
Well, you know.
You got to dig a hole.
Hey, listen. If you can carry you some toilet paper, hey, baby, go with it. Because you're going to need it.
That'd be a lot better than a sand rock.
That's right. And for my sugars, I took an expedition in hell, where were we, Tommy, whenever I shit rainbows, because I ate all them candies.
That's a great story. Oh, not sugar fruit candy out there, the stuff that, because it's got something candy that'll make you go hoarse. And Bill was sucking on his candy. Oh, God.
Yeah.
Another. Yeah.
Hey, I was eating these sugar candies to keep my sugar alive.
Hey, Doyle, one thing people better remember, when you go to the surplus store, if you do get MREs, I neglect to tell folks, I got to put a disclaimer. That white chewing gum that's in that doggone MRE, it is not chewing gum. And I'm going to tell you something else. We call it toilet paper, the military. We call it shit tickets. Make sure you got plenty of shit tickets, because I'm telling you, if you take the MREs out there and you eat the doggone macaroni and cheese and everything else in there, and you eat the chewing gum, you in a world of hurt.
Yep, that's your laxatives, baby.
Yeah, that'll keep you from carrying your food after you eat it.
Oh, goodness gracious.
Oh,
grief,
yeah,
Paul.
The beef stroganoff. The beef stroganoff, baby, that's the best.
Don't
eat your MREs. The beef stroganoff is the best one at all.
Doyle, no.
Y'all getting one of the most important things found.
Spam! Hell yeah!
You got to have spam.
You got to have spam, and you got to have cuties.
Look,
cuties.
Yeah, cuties will expire really quickly.
Hey, Doyle, real quick.
They don't last that long because something comes and gets your damn cooler and takes them with them.
But you got to have cuties.
I'm gonna tell y'all something. If TJ wants to be a billionaire right now, if he really wants to be a billionaire, I'm gonna tell the folks out there, the millions of listeners that listen to this podcast, TJ is the gourmet cook of spam. I ate spam about six different ways when I was in your Warrior Forest. I'm gonna tell you what. All he gotta do is print a cookbook.
Let me tell you something. I had spam sandwiches. I had spam and eggs. I had spam and omelet. I had spam pizza, thanks to Rocky. He's the god of spam pizza. I'm telling you, we ate spam until spam, it was unbelievable, man. I'm telling you, if you had never eaten spam, eat spam.
I got to see if I bought stock in spam here.
So we're going to hit a commercial here, and we'll be right back after the break.
1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I got to tell you, that's the day I thought I was going to challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks on the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
Did you hear that?
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television and Tyler Lundgren. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
You know, and that's Bigfoot Lives, folks. If you haven't been over to searchingforbigfoot.com, check out our store. You know, we've got, I don't know, probably 7 or 8 good movie documentaries out there. We've got some new ones coming out. We've also got apparel, shorts, cups, mugs, pins. You know, it's your Bigfoot cornucopia. Get on to searchingforbigfoot.com and check that out. Now, if you're joining us late here after talking about expeditions, what to take out, what not to take out with you, the kind of gear we use, and we're getting a little personal and kind of figuring out with the round table, Doyle, Rocky, and Leo, and myself, what they take out. So, you know, I have to spend there. You know, you need to get yourself good, decent Motorola radio. And look, folks, they're going to tell you you're going to be, oh, it's 32 miles. You know, it may be 32 miles on a straight flat road, you know, going to, but out, you're lucky if you get 2 miles unless you're up on top of a hill. Those are some, you get lost and keep your things close to you and keep everybody spread out. Another thing is, you know, you might want to get some night vision. If the prices have gone down, I think they're 7 or 8 right now, and you can actually pick it up online. We pick it up at the Spice store. They usually have discounted items there. And some kind of, you know, FLIR, some kind of thermal imaging. You want to be able to walk through the woods at night and actually see where you're going. And then, if you flip over to the thermal side and see if there's any kind of flesh and blood out there. Now, a good parabolic mic, and they're getting, the prices have come down. I mean, you can pick them up for a couple $100 now. They're handheld. They're not too complicated. And you always want to make sure you got yourself a good digital recorder you can record your evidence, you know. If we didn't have a digital recorder, we wouldn't have got the evidence we got up there by Rockies with Doyle and them that one night. But we did, so, you know, we have it. Anything from, let's see here, Rocky, come on, tell everybody what besides what we talked about, what you want to bring out with you.
Well, one thing, everybody that has gone out with me knows that I never build a fire, but every time I go out, I've got a fire starter. I've got a plastic bag full of dryer lint, and that starts. You can start a fire in a heartbeat with that. But you know, fire isn't just for cooking and staying warm. It's also get you out of a jam. It's a good way to signal.
Dryer lint makes
absolutely. You can take enough dryer lint to make a sailboat sail and wad it up into a package that ain't much bigger than a Coke bottle lid. So,
yep.
You know, it's easy
sure.
to carry.
Take you some fatwood sticks. Take you some fatwood sticks.
That too. There's you should always have a way to start a fire.
Yep.
The easy way is carry a cigarette lighter with you and, you know, whatever kind of fire starter, but always have something, a way to start a fire. Always have a knife. And Tommy knows that the knife I carry out to the woods, it's capable. He saw me brutalize it the last time out, and, well, not a big deal. Most of the guys baton their knives through a piece of pine. Well, I did it through a 18-inch stick of oak that was about as big around as my leg, drove it through five times, beating on it with a hatchet, and still just as sharp as the day I got it.
Indeed.
But you need something that you can, you know, that you can split wood with, and a hatchet's a good thing to have, but there's a lot of things you can't do with a hatchet that you can do with a knife. Of course, we've covered all the firearms. Bring something big enough to make bad biting things quit. I mean,
the other thing, Rocky, chime in on what you were saying about the fire. A lot of people fail to realize that, you know, it's called working smarter, not harder. The other thing you can do is if you got a fireplace or you got a stove that you use during the wintertime, if you have a chance, buy some starter logs. You can buy those during the wintertime and stock up on them if you are an avid camper or if you're going to go out here and you're going to actually do the expeditions that we do. If you're not inclined, like, you know, the four of us that's on this round table and you don't know how to do things out in the woods, you want to do something quick and easy, get you some starter logs. You know, keep them handy, and that can help you out.
Man, fire starters. That's what it says, like a little, you can go to any local grocery store, and they'll give you these little 8-packs of fatwood starter logs. You know, they're like $2, you know. Get those things and pile you some lumber up on top of that and fire you one of those logs up underneath of it. You don't even need kindling. Just fire it up. And it'll catch them on fire. It'll catch them on fire. And I'm telling you, like Rocky said, Rocky, one of the first times that I ever went on an expedition with Rocky, said he never started a fire. We started a fire one night. And that was probably one of the most dramatic nights we ever found, with those damn Bigfoot coming up there and yelling and squalling. And we got, Tommy said, you know, we got it on audio.
Hey, TJ.
I had the.
TJ.
I got the.
We got Harry on.
All righty.
Yeah,
you know, folks,
Harry,
hey, hold
there.
On there.
What's up, bro?
All right. Our guest, Harry, is chimed in for this evening. You know, Harry hails from Massachusetts, and, you know, we spoke last week. Harry's, you know, he's a believer, and he's actually ran into the creature. Kind of talk about his encounter and where he had his encounter, and turn it on over to him. How are you tonight, Harry?
I'm not doing too bad. You know, the mosquitoes are light, and, you know, the fire pit's cranking, and it's a light rain.
Oh, outstanding. So why don't you kind of fill our guests in and let them know about the creature up in Massachusetts that you ran into.
Okay. So, you know, I've never told anyone about this location, and I've only been back there twice.
Mm-hmm.
It's called October Mountain State Forest in western Massachusetts.
Okay.
And it's called, there's a little spot on the base of the mountain. It's called Finity Pond.
Finity Pond.
Finity Pond. And out behind Finity Pond, I believe, I'm not 100% sure, but I believe there's a gas line that runs east to west.
Okay, that remember you telling me that, right? Now, you were out there, you're a hunter, and you were out there hunting. And
I'm a big-time hunter. I'm a deer hunter, and I'm a bear hunter.
Mm-hmm.
I've taken five bears off that mountain.
Wow.
So, you know, when I tell you I'm seeing something that ain't normal, it's the God's honest truth.
Well, you got believers here. They're always on the show. So tell us, what was different about your encounter? I mean, I know it sticks in my head.
I'm sorry,
but I don't wanna...
say again?
So your encounter, you know, there was one spot that you had told me about your encounter, but I don't want to, you know, tell anybody about it. I want you to say it with your own words that really amazed me about the creature.
Listen,
and I'm sure it amazed
you. You know, I really didn't want to get on this radio show because I really don't have much to tell. You know, I wish I could say, you know, I went fist to cuffs or something with them, but it was nothing like that. It was me out in the woods, and, you know, this thing just walked right in front of me. And it was in a full stride heading due west.
Mm-hmm.
It never looked at me, never snarled, never did anything. It just kept walking full stride.
Yeah. Like,
and
you weren't even
I'm
there.
I'm going to tell you right now that this thing had to be at least 9 feet tall.
Wow. You know, what amazes me is that you had said that the creature knew you were there, but it wouldn't look at you. It just continued walked by you like you were not even there. Like, if I don't look at him, he won't notice me, and I'll just keep walking, you know.
I was wearing Blaze Orange. I was wearing Blaze Orange, and this thing, I swear to God, he never even looked at me. He just looking straight ahead and walking with a full stride.
How far from it was you?
And I got to tell you what, man. This thing scared the crap out of me. I didn't smell him. I didn't. And, you know, once I realized what I saw, you know. Can you hear me?
Yeah, sure.
So I'm walking, and, you know, I'm in the woods, and I got a 12-gauge shotgun with 3-inch Magnum slugs. And as soon as I saw him and realized what I saw, I turned around and went back to my truck and screwed.
You know, a lot of hunters, they see this creature, and they look at it in amazement and awe. You know, if it was a deer or other animal, you would have already had your gun up. You would have been bending down the sights and looking. Did you feel the same way?
Well, you know, I was kind of freaked out because it was hunting season, and where I go, don't see anybody out there without Blaze Orange on.
Right.
So I don't know what to tell you, man.
So when the creature walked out in front of you, Harry, how many feet From you, where are you?
I'm sorry, say again.
So, when the creature walked past you in front of you, heading west down that pipeline, how far from it was you?
I'm going to say it was probably, my guesstimate would be between 60-70 yards.
Wow. And you could see it clearly, and it could see through.
There was light snow on the ground. It was probably 50 feet. It was snow.
Right. We're kind of losing you, Harry. Did it have a full coat for the winter?
It was very heavy. It just looked like a big, giant creature, you know? At first, I thought it was a bear. And I'm like, okay, bears don't walk upright, and they don't have arms like that, you know?
Right. Hmm. Oh, amazing. Now, have you been back up to the area, or do you plan on going back up to the area?
Yes, I do. And I've been there one time since my encounter, and I have not seen no sign of them.
Really? Well, did you walk to the tracks that it was leaving in the snow and kind of get an idea how big they were?
I did not. I'd be a liar if I said.
Oh, okay. So you were really scared, like you're saying. I gotcha.
No, the thing's, man, I told you. I got a 12-gauge shotgun with 3-inch magnum slugs, and I immediately turned around and walked back to my truck and screwed.
Wow. Now, do you tell the story to people that hunt up in that area? Do you keep it to yourself? Do you get a lot of ridicule, or, you know, are you comfortable talking about it?
I got to tell you, you know, you're like the very first person other than my sister that I told. My sister is my own living relative.
Mm-hmm.
You were the very first person that has gone public or ever done anything.
Well, we're honored. We're honored that you came and shared it with us, and we really appreciate you and know how hard it was for you. But, you know, every week we have this show on Blog Talk Radio. And if you want to learn about Bigfoot, you want to learn about how to take care of them, how go out and look for them, stay away from them, you can kind of log in because we have a roundtable every week at 7 p.m.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure, absolutely.
I was wondering, do you think he's dangerous?
Well, you know, I don't think I'm lucky. I'm my other expert on here. Answer your question.
Now here's another one for you.
Okay.
What do you think he eats?
Well, I believe that the creature eats both plants and animals. I think he's an opportunist eater. I don't believe that he's going to take down a deer if he can get roadkill or eat berries. I do believe that they need protein. But like I was saying, you know, Rocky here and Leo and Doyle, we've all been out together for many, many years, and we all have different opinions on this. I think he's an herbivore. He'll eat both meat and vegetables. Yeah, both meat and vegetables, you know.
Just as long as he's not eating.
What now?
I said just as long as he don't eat me.
Oh, no. I said omnivore.
Yeah, omnivore.
Yeah.
Well, just as long as you don't eat me, I'm all set.
Oh, me, gotcha. You know, I've never heard of the creature eating a person, you know, but there are some stories about dog men that are out there that, you know, the dog men are the Bigfoot that are the dangerous creatures. Okay?
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I'm a firm believer that, you know, if you don't mess with it, it ain't going to mess with you.
Right. Agreed. I think everybody can agree with you on that. Absolutely. You know, this creature wants nothing to do with us. You know, it wants to stay borrowed.
I'm pretty sure. It's just like, I saw a black racer snake this morning. You know, the thing had to be damn near 6 feet long. And, you know, you don't mess with him, you ain't going to mess with you.
Right. You know, Now, up there in Massachusetts,
but
you guys
anyways,
mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, say again?
Up in Massachusetts there, do you guys have a lot of poisonous snakes?
I'm sorry, say again, please.
In Massachusetts, do you have a bunch of poisonous snakes up there, venomous?
Do I have one?
It's a hard signal here. The snakes up there, are they venomous?
No, it's kind of a popular area, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You go what? 5 miles to the road and down a lead.
Right.
Lee Mass, Lenoxdale. But this
okay.
thing is following gas lines. And, you know, I'm surprised the government doesn't have some kind of pictures of it because.
I bet they do.
A week.
Yeah.
I helicopters down the gas for weeks.
Right.
And this thing is on the gas line.
Yep. We've heard that story many times and running the gas lines. You know, Harry, I want to thank you for coming on the show. I really appreciate it. Your signal's dropping on us. We're not being able to hear anything you're saying. Folks, this is Harry.
Oh, well, listen. Hey, if you ever want to hook up, I'd be glad to take you out there.
Well, you know, when we get up that direction, Harry, we'll definitely get by you, brother. I want to thank you again for coming on the show and sharing your story with us.
Thank you so much for believing in me. No.
You're very welcome, Harry. Thank you very much. Folks, that was Harry down in Massachusetts. He's was out hunting, and the creature ran out in front of him. He has a great story. It's awesome. You know, you hear about these things all the time where people are just out there and under happenstance, bam, the creature's there. What drives me batty about the story is the creature wouldn't look at him. So it's like I'm thinking to myself, the creature's thinking, okay, I see that guy in the orange. If I don't look at him, he won't look at me. Maybe he won't shoot me. I'm just going to cruise on down and keep going. You know what I mean, Rocky?
I do.
You know, do. These creatures. These creatures just, they want nothing. Like, it proves to me that they don't want to hurt us. They want to live their lives. They want to move on through, do what they're doing, you know, follow their migrational trails north to south, south to north, pick up their food, their young. You know, just like us, they've been here for thousands and thousands of years. And they, I think I saw something online, the world's greatest hide-and-seek player in the world, you know. Folks, we're getting near the end of the show. I'm going to swing by each one of the roundtable guests, give them the last word before we have to go, and we're going to start off with Leo in North Carolina.
Hey, if you really want to go Bigfoot hunting, get with the Searching for Bigfoot team and the Piscardi family, and we'll take you out there. Come on and join us, and we'll show you what real Bigfoot hunting is. None of that mess you see on TV, real Bigfoot hunting.
All righty. Thank you, Leo. And Doyle from Kentucky. What do you got? Looks like we lost Doyle. How about Rocky?
Just like Leo said, if you want to go out there and do some Bigfoot hunting, some Bigfoot research, if you go with the Biscardi boys, you don't have to worry about toting cameras, mirrors, lights, all of that stuff. You actually go out there, you hunt Bigfoot.
All right. Thanks again.
Exactly.
Last but not least, what do you got for us? Last word, Doyle.
I'm telling you right now, if you want to find Bigfoot, you hang with the Biscardi boys. Because I can tell you right now, I have seen and heard things that I have never been able to explain.
All right. Thank you, Doyle. Thank you, Lee. Thank you, Rocky. Folks, it's the end of the Bigfoot show. And make sure you step back next week with us at 7 o'clock, same time, same Bigfoot channel, 10 p.m. Eastern, where we're going to talk Bigfoot. We're going to have live guests, which could be on expedition. You never know. Marco and Miss Calabas, we'll catch you next week.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Thanks for- Harry in Massachusetts.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they died. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monster, mystery, mysteries, legend, tales, and facts.